It's good to be in the house of God, right? Anybody here excited about digging into God's Word? All right, we're going to get into God's Word tonight, and we're going to go and start with the cell lesson for the week, Overcomers cell lesson. It's called Freedom Revolution Part 3, The Power of the Holy Spirit. The Power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Anybody out there didn't get a lesson by any chance? Anybody there did not get an outline if you need one? If you need one, I think we're out of them. Share with your neighbor, okay? Okay, in this lesson, we will learn about being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Being born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to read through the outline, and then I'm going to concentrate on certain scriptures in the outline tonight, okay? John 3, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. We are spirit, soul, and body, and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us when we are born again. Just a side note here. Pastor Phil, if you might be wondering, is on vacation tonight. He's in Florida with his wife and his family, enjoying some time off. So he gives his greetings. And so that's why he's not here this week. Okay, we'll go to B, 1B. John 14, verses 16 through 17. The Spirit of truth will dwell with you and will be in you. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And I want to add a scripture here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. If you got a Bible with you. If not, I'll read it to you. Romans 8, 9, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. How many here tonight claim that they belong to Christ? How many here have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're making Jesus Lord over every area of your life? All right, did you know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, took up residence on the inside of you? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, that don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, where did the Spirit of God dwell in the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament dwelt in a temple, a building like this one. It was in the Holy of Holies. But guess what the New Covenant Temple is today? The New Testament Temple is where today? For us believers. We are the New Testament Temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of those who have confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord. Those who are following Jesus, those who are saying, Jesus, I've submitted and surrendered my life to you. The Holy Spirit lives on the insides of those people. So he's living in you and me. Amen? Okay, we're going to go to Roman numeral 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 through 39. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Luke 24, 49. You will be endued with power from on high. Acts 1, 8 through 15. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Acts 2, 1 through 39, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 3, early believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 8, 13 through 17, Philip prayed for people in Samaria to be filled. Acts 10, 1 through 48, Peter preached and Cornelius, a centurion, and other Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 9, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, 1 through 6. Paul went to Ephesus and preached the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and many received. All right, many received. Today I want to concentrate at a Roman numeral number 3 on John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. So who lives on the inside of us now in the New Testament?
The Holy Spirit.
Who's taking up residence in us? The Holy Spirit. Let's look at John 7 in detail, verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given. That's the key. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what is Jesus talking about in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39? What is he talking about for us believers? He's talking about a refreshing experience in the Holy Spirit. How many here like those really hot days in Oklahoma, July and August? We work outside on people's homes, and sometimes it gets to be 100 degrees, 105, 110, and add on top of that the high humidity, and so you start to sweat. I start to sweat on the job sometimes. And the first thing I look to do is to find a hose spigot, a faucet, where I can drink some cold water out of. How many like cold water on a hot day? Yeah, maybe some cold water in a cooler, you know, bottled water that's cold in a cooler. It provides refreshment during a really hot day, right? And Jesus, in John chapter 7, the scriptures we just read, is talking about a refreshing experience in the Holy Spirit that would be given when he was what?
Glorified.
When he was glorified, taken back to the Father in heaven. Let's turn to Acts 1, where Jesus was about to be glorified. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command." Here's the key. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So remember the promise of the Father. It's the refreshing experience that Jesus talked about in John 7. Jump down to verse 8 of Acts 1. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So what happened in verse 9 of Acts 1? Jesus was glorified. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So what is he saying? Jesus is going to return a second time. The second return of Christ is very near, friend. My question to you tonight is this: are you ready for the second return of Jesus Christ? Make sure you're ready, because he's going to come like a thief in the night when we least expect it. Amen? Make sure you're sticking close to Christ. Make sure that Jesus is ruler, king, Lord, over every part of your life, spirit, soul, mind, and body. Now we're going to jump back to the refreshing experience, streams of living water that Jesus talked about. All right? The refreshing experience was given in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Jump down to Acts chapter 2. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, here's the key verse, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What refreshing experience in John chapter 7 was Jesus talking about if you cross-reference it with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4? What was the promise of the Father? This refreshing experience in the Spirit, like cold water on a hot day. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Anybody have any ideas of what baptism means? Baptism.
Cleansing.
Comes from a Greek word which means to immerse. To immerse. To envelop one with. To dip into. Last weekend was Memorial Day weekend. And it was pretty hot, right? And I did some swimming on Memorial Day weekend. What did I do? I went to the pool in my neighborhood and I baptized myself. In the neighborhood pool. Anybody ever do that? Baptize yourself in a backyard pool or a neighborhood pool? It feels really good on a hot day, right? And that's what baptism is. It's baptism in the Holy Spirit is being immersed. Okay, it's being dipped into. It's having the Spirit of God all around you, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit living on the inside of you envelops you completely. That's baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a refreshing experience with the Spirit of God. Amen? And one of the main evidences of Spirit baptism is what? One of the main evidences of Spirit baptism is speaking in other tongues. You know, a friend of mine, the girl I'm engaged to now, was going to a church in Tulsa several years ago. And the pastor's wife got up and was speaking in tongues on the pulpit. And guess what she thought? She thought that the pastor, she was totally like ignorant to this idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit and tongues. She thought that the pastor's wife was interpreting for foreign speakers. Little did she know, later on she found out that she was speaking in tongues. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And maybe some of you are kind of puzzled about this idea, this theology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Puzzled about tongues and don't know what to do about it. You might be like that girl. But tonight, God is going to clarify things for you. Amen? Amen? All right. You know, somebody once said, it seems that God does nothing except someone prays. It seems that God does nothing except someone prays. Praise. And God understands your English language. If you're praying to God in English about a need in your life, about a need in somebody else's life, a loved one's life, God understands English. But when you start speaking in tongues, friends, one of the main evidences of Spirit baptism, you're communicating in a heavenly language with God. That's awesome, isn't it? See, God wants you to talk with Him like you talk with your best friend. How many here have a best friend that you like to meet with? You like to call on the phone. You like to meet with one-on-one. And you like to talk with this person. Share your heart with this person. And oftentimes it's going to be in English, right? Well, guess what? God wants to be your best friend. He wants you to communicate with Him. And you can communicate with God in tongues. And you may not have received that gift yet, but tonight you'll have the opportunity at the altar call to do so. Amen? Okay. How does praying in tongues, this refreshing experience, Spirit baptism, how does it help you? How does it help you? 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul the Apostle talks about speaking in tongues. He gives a good dissertation in 1 Corinthians 14. And this is what he says in verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to whom? But to God. Indeed, no one understands Him. He utters mysteries with His Spirit. So when you speak in this heavenly tongue, talking about this refreshing experience, guess who you're talking to, as we just said? You're communicating with God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen? All right, I got a light here. Where's my light? My illustration right here. Okay. Got a light here, right? I can switch and turn this thing on, but there's no light, right? What do I have to do in order for the light to go on? Okay, plug it into the... Plug it into the what? Make sure the breaker's on. Uh-oh. Should be going on. All right. Maybe the bulb is bad. To baptize it, that's funny. Okay. There it is. All right, so the light went on, right? Why did the light go on? Because the light was hooked into the, this fixture was hooked into the, this is a fixture. It's a light fixture. This light fixture was hooked into what?
Power.
Into the power source. The power source on the wall, right? The outlet. So the power was transferred from the power source, the outlet, into the light fixture, causing the bulb to turn on, right? So, here's the point. When you pray in tongues, who are you plugging into? You are plugging into God. You are connecting with God, the ultimate power source. When you pray in tongues, let me say it again, you are connecting, you are plugging into God, the ultimate power source, and He wants to flow His power through you. And that's what happens when you speak in tongues. You are plugging in to the main power outlet, and that is God. He wants to empower you on the inside. And when you speak in tongues, it empowers you. It's like God sends His light through you, His power through you. It strengthens you on the inside. It builds you up in your inner man. And that's what Paul the Apostle writes in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 14. He says, "He who speaks in a tongue does what? Edifies whom?
Himself.
But he who prophesies edifies the church." What does it mean to edify? When you speak in this tongue, in this heavenly language, the promise of the Father, spirit baptism, however you want to put it, this refreshing experience, when you speak in tongues, you are doing what to yourself? You are edifying yourself. You are building yourself up on the inside because you're connecting to which source? The main power source, God. You're connecting with God. Amen? There's been so many instances in my life where a situation may come across my path where I get afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. And I'm like, God, my goodness, my mind is going 100 different directions. God, I don't know what to do. And I start speaking in tongues. And all at once, a peace comes over me. I get strengthened on the inside. And God is telling me, I've got the whole thing under my control. Jonathan, peace, be still. And friend, if you can do it for me, He can do it for you. So what is the benefit of speaking in tongues? Spirit baptism. It does what to you? It strengthens you. It edifies you because you're hooked up to the, which source?
The main power source,
which is God. And praying in tongues also helps us in another way. Back to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. What did Jesus say? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So when you pray in tongues, when you're filled with the Spirit, enveloped by the Holy Spirit, what happens to you? You become a powerful what for God, for Jesus? A witness of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that you're called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ? You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, you don't know what great need I'm in. You don't know my situation. I don't have money. I don't have, you know, food hardly to eat. I'm always in need, and I hardly even have a house to live in. I live in a shelter. How can I witness to somebody else? Friends, I'm here to tell you today that there is somebody out there in greater need than you, and the greater one lives on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And by speaking in tongues, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can be empowered beyond your natural self, beyond your natural strength, to be a witness of the good news that is found in Jesus Christ. How could you do it? Find somebody needier than you and just tell them, God loves you. Jesus loves you. I believe in you. Jesus died for your sins. You can go to heaven one day by confessing Jesus as Savior and making Him Lord over every area of your life. So you can be a powerful witness for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Speaking in tongues. You may not have spoken in tongues yet, but tonight you'll have the opportunity at the end of the service to pray to God for the gift. Kevin, got a word for us? Kevin is going to give us a few words here.
Don't sweat it.
All right.
Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you, at one point in my life, I knew I was a Christian. I acted like a Christian, but some of my demeanor was not very Christian-like. I was still smoking cigarettes and still drinking beer. And I struggled with these issues until one day I met a young man. And he came to me and he asked me, "Are you a born-again Christian?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "But you're struggling, aren't you?" I said, "Yes. I need something more than what I have. What could it possibly be?" He said, "Have you ever considered a baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was like lightning flowing through my body, like living water flowing through me. And I was able to walk away from the cigarettes, able to walk away from the alcohol. I was able to be a witness of Jesus Christ like never before. For once in my life, I could walk among the brethren and felt like the brethren. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There is something that happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God gives you a heavenly prayer language. I learned to have to pray in the Spirit. When I learned to pray in the Spirit, He heard my needs. When He fulfilled my needs, I was able to witness even greater than ever before. The Scriptures opened up to me, and I had a greater understanding. That's all He wants, is you to understand Him, to have a deeper relationship. And when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that relationship is grounded. Like star, grounding rods of lightning. You understand? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Some final notes on the lesson. That's good, Kevin. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Desire to be filled. According to Luke 11:13, ask to be filled. According to Galatians 3:14, believe that you receive.